Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Book of Acts. Are you there already? You're waiting. Waiting for it. Say amen. Amen. Let's see here. Acts chapter 4. Are we there in verse 13, Jimmy? All right, man, I appreciate that. I really do. Okay? He's got it marked down. Amen. But I always like to back up just a little bit so we can kind of get a running start into verse 13, all right? Here's Peter. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. It's what he told him would happen when Jesus was teaching his disciples and preparing them for a time when he wasn't going to be around. He was telling them when they drag you, they are going to drag you into synagogues. They're going to pull you in before synagogues, and they're going to try to accuse you of this and that and the other. And don't think about what you're going to say. Don't rehearse it. The Holy Ghost is going to do it. And here it is in verse 8. Boy, God is faithful. Amen. If he says it's going to happen this way, it's going to happen this way. And there's a life lesson for us. There's a life lesson for us. If God says it's going to happen this way, then how's it going to happen? It's going to happen exactly the way God said. So here it is. Peter is pulled before a tribunal. Okay? He's there before the elders, the high priest and the Sanhedrin. And he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he starts talking. Okay? Let's see here. Boy, I like this. Be it known unto you, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 11. This is the stone which was set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I hear somebody say amen? And you know what? I tell you what, I'm feeling a little rambunctious this morning. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Peter mentioned the stone that was rejected. And I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to this. The Bible is given to us for correction, for inspiration. It's to give us an example of not only what happened before, but what is happening right now. And if the church was wise, we would recognize that how Israel was, that's how church people are. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Mike? The Israelites were idol worshipers. Are there idol worshipers in the church? Israel was stubborn. Are there stubborn churches, stubborn preachers, stubborn church members? They were lascivious. Are there lasciviousness in the church? I mean, were they rebellious? Is there rebellion? Everything that Israel did, you can see somehow, some way in the church. Now, here's the deal. Israel rejected Christ. He was to be the cornerstone. He was to be the foundation upon which the whole building was set and established. They, as the builders, they rejected that and they set it aside. The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone. Now, Peter is saying the same thing here in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And I just like the wording and the analogies and the ideas that the Bible gives us. Because, you know, when I teach typology, I show you that a woman is a picture of the church somehow, some way. Heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. How does a mother feed her babies? She does so with her own milk. With milk. And that's what this is getting at here. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so as babies, we are to be fed by our mother. And our mother, I'm just going to say this. I don't mean to be offensive, but this is the illustration that God's given us. And this idea is that a woman feeds her babies with her breasts. That is the system that God has given her, and the milk flows from that, and there are two of them, and we have Old Testament and New Testament. God's design is perfect. Somebody say amen. Okay? Now, if you can handle that, I mean, just that's how the miracle that everybody says, well, you Christians, you hate women. No, 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 no. God has a very special, unique place for womanhood in his kingdom. And it's the feminists that have told everybody that Christianity is not for women. So what do they want to do? They want to worship Islam. You talk about hating women. Islam hates women. According to Sharia law, Islamic law, if you as a husband are mad at your wife and she's done you wrong, cut her head off. Stone her. Kill her. There was a deal in St. Louis a long time ago. The FBI had this guy under surveillance. He was a Muslim in the St. Louis area, and they had wiretapped his house because he was involved in some terrorist stuff. And his daughter started dating a little Christian boy or something like that at the high school she was going to. And daddy was telling her, you better leave him alone. You better stay away from him. Well, you know, she wouldn't do it. And he ends up killing her in his house, and it's recorded by the FBI. That's because his law, his Muslim law, said he had a right to do it. I'll tell you, it's just better be saved. Amen? Okay? But anyway, let me get to the point here. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Both Old Testament and New Testament, we draw from the breast of New Jerusalem through the pages of the Bible. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody say amen. I listen. God said, you know what? If you want to try that other stuff, go ahead. Just try me one time. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. That's where the last name Livingston comes from. Did you know that? If you know anybody named Livingston, that is derived from the Bible. A living stone. In fact, it's more than likely is spelled that way without the space between the words. Living stone. To whom coming as to a living stone. Now that is in stark contrast. And I didn't mean to start teaching 1 Peter 2, but it just seems like the right thing to do this morning. That is in stark, a living stone, which is Christ, is in stark contrast to the stone images that we see all throughout the Bible that are dead. The book of Psalms, David talked about these idols, and he said they carved ears onto them, but they can't hear anything. They carved eyes into these statues, but they can't see anything. They carved hands with magic powers into these idols, but they can't do anything. Then he says that in another place in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says, is that they carved legs on them, but these idols have to be carried around by people because they can't move themselves. And you know what David said in the book of Psalms? They that worship them are as them. People that worship idols have eyes, but they can't see, and ears that they can't hear. Amen. So this is in stark, the living stone is in stark contrast to the dead stones of idol worship, the false gods, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. It is a precious stone. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's why as Christians, you really ought to study the law. And I know it sounds boring to some people, but you really ought to go and study the law, because the pattern that was given to us in the law, especially the book of Leviticus, that is about the priestly law. And as a Christian, you want to be smart. You want to have a little bit of knowledge in you. Go study the law. Because what you will see is the parallels that should be in place in your life. Not that you have to learn how to, kill a goat. But you as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, you learn how to sacrifice yourself daily, and that is what is required. But then he said, In verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now you would, I am just all over this thing in the Bible about belief, about belief, about belief, and about faith. We're saved by God's grace through what? Through faith. Is that God's faith? No, that is through our faith. And if you don't believe God, then you cannot be saved. Let me say that again. If you don't believe God, you cannot be saved. Now, I'm dead serious about this thing. Because we got people running all over the place in churches all over this country and all over the world. And I get emails from people literally all over the world saying, we're here in the Netherlands. We can't find a church to go to because they don't believe the Bible anymore. I got people send me emails that they'll ask their pastor, Pastor, what do you think about the King James? And their pastor will write him an email back saying, stay away from that King James only crowd. Stay away from that. Tell them stay away from that stuff. You know what they got? They got a pastor who don't believe the Bible. And I'm just telling you what the Word says. I know whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but we are saved by grace through faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is belief. It's not a philosophy that you have. This philosophy idea is sort of like, boy, how can I put this? This is something that you're seeking and searching out to see whether it's true or not. God doesn't really have a problem with you asking questions. But the truth of it is, you either believe him or not. You either call God a liar or you find out that he's true in everything that he said. And if God's not true in one thing that he said, then he cannot be true in anything else. It's all or nothing with him. And I'm just telling you, and I'm trying to get into verse 7 here because it has everything to do with this. But when you say that the Bible, all of the Bible is not really the Word of God, then you're saying that God made mistakes. Okay, that is what you're saying. And I will tell you this. You can, and I want you to listen to this now. Because in Isaiah, Isaiah 28? They delivered the book that was sealed to him that had knowledge. And he said, I cannot read it, for it is sealed. And our churches are full of men who cannot read the Bible, who cannot believe the Bible, who they call it higher criticism. And they say, well, you know, it kind of says this, but, you know, archaeologists have discovered this, and archaeology says that that cannot be true. Let me tell you something. The Bible is not subject to the authority of the archaeologist. The Bible is not subject to the authority of the historian. The Bible is not subject to the authority of the paleontologist or the geologist who says the earth is about 6 billion years old. The Bible is not subject to those things. Those things should be subject to the Bible, but it's not the other way around. And you'd be surprised and amazed at how many people sitting in churches right now are accepting the science, falsely so-called in this world, as an authority over the Bible, including the pastors who are called to preach it. Because they heard in a college seminar somewhere that archaeology said this, or geology said this, or the paleontologist said this, or the anthropologist said this, or the historian said, well, it wasn't really so. And I don't know if you were aware of this or not, but I remember hearing for a long time there was even a debate about whether really the story of Jonah was true or not, according to the scriptures. That they said that really there's no way that any whale that we know of could have swallowed a man whole. Okay? And I'm here to tell you something. This Bible, if Jonah did not happen, then there was no resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus said, as Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Okay? And Jonah came out, and then Christ came out. And I'm here to tell you, if Jonah's not real, then there is no resurrection, and then there is no promise of heaven for you and I, and it's all off. Let's go fishing and play golf today. Because what are we doing here? We're wasting. Listen, if this is not right, we're wasting. I'm wasting my time. I have given my entire life And when I say my entire life, I don't just mean 8 hours on the clock during the day. I mean my entire life to the study, the preaching, the teaching, the learning from this book, because I believe it's true. And if it's not, then I am literally wasting a lot of time. And if this Bible's not true, then I'll close it up and I'll walk away and then I'll go try to find aliens at Area 51. But I'm telling you, this Bible's true. And your salvation is a decision that you make, that you decide that what God said was right. And it doesn't matter if it's Romans 3:23 or John 3:16 or Genesis 1:1. It doesn't matter. When you decide that God is going to be right, that's the moment upon which you can be saved. Okay? And so here, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And I tell you, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of confounding in the church today. And really and truthfully, all anybody needs to do is just decide they're going to believe the Bible. And I'll just tell you what happened to me one day. I mean, I've told this before, but one day God just put it in my heart and I just decided that this Bible was right and it didn't need me to correct it. And I didn't need to go study the concordances. And I didn't need to go read all the commentaries. And I didn't need to go back to Bible college. I didn't need everybody else's rules for how they said to interpret the Bible. I've had people ask me, well, do you believe such and such? Well, I don't know. I never heard that before. Well, if you'd read so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, then he'll tell you, you know, how to believe this. Now, I read Dr. Luke every now and then. Amen. Okay. In fact, we're studying Dr. Luke now in the book of Acts. But I will tell you, believing in John Calvin or Benjamin Randall or Billy Graham or anybody, believing in them is one thing. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, you will not be confounded. And if you've got questions about doctrine, you've got questions about ideas and things like that that you need answered, go to the Lord first. Amen. Go to the Lord first and ask him. And if you'll just believe him, you will not be confounded. There are issues right now in my mind that I'm wanting to get settled as far as what to believe in this Bible. It's not that I don't believe the Bible. I believe it. It's just that there are areas that I cannot get discernment yet. So you know who I'm asking? I'm asking the Lord. God, settle this in my heart. God, show me what's right. God, show me what's real. In verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is... Now, when I say he, I'm talking about two things. I'm talking about, number one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, his word. They are not separate. And I had a family that had emailed their pastor, and they were asking about the King James Bible. And their pastor warned them in a friendly manner not to listen to too much to what Mike Hoggard said. That's what he said. Which is fine, because I'd rather it not be that way anyway. I'd just rather them just believe the Bible. Amen. But he warned them about that, and he said, you know, people like that are idol worshipers in that they worship a Bible. Yeah. I do. Listen, I worship this Bible because it is God. You cannot. See, what he was wanting to do, he was wanting to separate the Word of God from the written Word of God. And not even, I'll tell you what, I am developing a mean streak in me this morning. I woke up sad because I wasn't picked to be on the football team. I had this dream that I was back in high school. You ever had this dream you was back in high school? Okay, it's just me. Anyway. I tried out for the football team, didn't make it, so I woke up sad. And I'm not sad anymore, amen. I'm just, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that's the word. Which we have seen with our eyes, that's the word. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, your hands handle the word of life. I've never held Jesus in my hands. except by the Bible that I have right here. Okay? And you can call me an idol worshiper all you want to, but the truth is, what you have done is you have separated God from His Word, from His written Word. And to you, the Word of God is somewhere out there somewhere, and it's esoteric, and it floats around. It doesn't really have a stable home, and it's not really to be known or anything like that. That's what this mindset is. And I've had it with that stuff. Amen. I used to float around in that same space, and I'm telling you, there's nothing there, and I'm back here with the Word of God. And unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. And I want to tell you something. This Bible is precious to me. This Bible, listen, this Bible is the mama that I run to when I'm in trouble. Amen? You ever been there? This Bible is the mama that I run to when I'm in trouble. This Bible is the daddy in whose arms I want to be held when I feel unloved, when I feel like I'm being rejected by the world. This Bible is what I run to. I get we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. It's the Bible that I run to. It's not that I don't turn on Christian radio. When I'm really in need and really desperate for something from God, I don't try to turn it on Joy FM so I can hear some contemporary song to get me pumped up. And if I just wave my hands in the air and act like I'm praising, worshiping God, then that'll make things better. It won't do it. I run to the Bible. This Bible is precious to me. And I live by it, and I will die by it, and I will die for it. Can I hear God's people say amen? But unto them which be disobedient. Would you listen to this? The stones which the builders disallowed, the same as made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. You know what that means? Number one, disbelief comes from disobedience. You know why your faith is shaken right now? You're not being obedient to God. You start getting in a rebellious attitude toward God, and your faith is going to be shaken. Why? Because you're going to stumble. Now, I've had people, and there's been some that have written legitimate, I mean, they really wanted to know questions about what they call so-called contradictions in the King James Bible. And I love it, Gary, I love it when they pull out this word Easter in the book of Acts chapter 12. When I get to that, I'm going to show you what it means. But I tell you what, I've run into these people before face to face, and I started out being nice, and when I figured out that that didn't work, I got mean. And I'm here to tell you, just write this down in your Bible. Get a pen, write this down. This is really important. There are rules. Okay? Rule number one, there are no mistakes in the Bible. Write that down. There are zero mistakes in my Bible. That's rule number one. Rule number two, if you found what looks like a mistake, refer to rule number one. Okay? Now, which do you want? Which is going to make you satisfied? And this is really going to reveal what kind of spirit you have in you. Which will make you more satisfied? A, finding mistakes in the Bible, or B, saying that there are none. Which is going to leave you more satisfied? And if B is your answer, then you are satisfied in Christ, and you have faith in Christ, and you trust Him. But if A is your answer, that you really want to find, and people have written me, especially, I remember one time a college student. He's smart. He was very smart. And he was ripping the Bible. A Bible college student was ripping the Bible apart. Okay? And I could detect the pride and the arrogance in him. And I was praying for him. God, bust him up over this deal. Soften him. But he was saying, you know, the King James says here, and it really should have said something else. And the King James, you know, there's a contradiction between 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles here. And it really, you know, that shows that they're copyist errors, and they didn't quite get it right. And there's mistakes that's crept in. And on and on and on and on. They want to tell you about these mistakes. Let me tell you what these are. They're called stumbling stone verses. Okay? Your mind says that looks like two different things here. And so you've got a choice to make. Remember, choice A is, I want to find a mistake in the Bible. And if that brings you satisfaction, that's your business. Choice B is, I refuse to believe that there's one mistake in the Bible. And I trust God and I trust His Word. And I will tell you, for my part, I have found my satisfaction in knowing and believing and refusing to allow in my mind that there's one mistake in this Bible. That's where my satisfaction comes from. That's where my grounding comes from, my found. And I want to ask you a question. Would it make you happy? Those of you who live in a house, okay? Would it make you happy? Or, you know, a trailer or whatever. Would it make you happy to go searching through your house to find out that there was a deformation in your house's foundation that could bust out at any minute and cause your house to crash? Would that be satisfying to you? I don't suspect that you would lay your head down at night and say, you know what, I am so thankful I found that the piers that this trailer is sitting on is fixing to bust out. That would not bring me satisfaction. I rest in knowing that my foundation is solid and there are no cracks in it. There's no chipped mortar. Okay? There's no decay in it. I'm satisfied in knowing that my foundation is sure. But there are stumbling block verses in the Bible. There are verses in this Bible that you'll read. They'll say, maybe that guy on the radio was right. Maybe this is a mistake in the Bible. And you're either going to stumble. When you stumble, what happens? Or you're going to say, you know what? My eyes and my mind can deceive me better than anybody else in the whole world. And I believe that the foundation is still sure. Okay? Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And I want to tell you something. In church after church after church after church, the stumbling stone in these churches is the King James Bible. It's not the other Bibles, because they'll use them in massive amounts. They'll print the NIV in their Sunday school literature. They'll print the Message Bible. They'll put the Message Bible up on the screen. The Holman Standard Bible, the Living Bible, the New Living Translation. They will put up there every other false, phony translation of the Bible up on the screen, and they'll use it in droves. But you will hardly ever, ever, ever hear, see, or read the words of the King James Bible. You'll never do it. Because it is an offense to them. One email, and I just glanced at it this morning. I was looking at all the different emails, and I haven't had time to read them. But one of them in particular I looked at was an email from somebody's pastor telling them, the guy asked him, if you were on a desert island and you had one Bible to choose from, which would you choose? Now, I suspect that this pastor was just trying to appease this person. He said, I really love the King James for its beauty and its wording and this. He didn't say anything about the power of God. He said, but really, really, the King James is the Bible of the old, and I'm not the Bible of the future. And this man is what he's trying to do? He was trying to, in a very nice way, and make it sound really good and spiritual. He was trying to say, oh, I love the King James, but I won't use it. And you know what? This Bible is a stone of stumbling. And those that stumble are in danger of falling. Okay? So this is the same thing. The same thing that happened to Israel 2,000 years ago, right here in the book of Acts. They rejected the very word of God that came to them in the flesh. The same is happening today of the Christian religious crowd, is that they are in danger of rejecting the very word of God that could save them. but they're rejecting it, and it won't. That's what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, well, I don't like seeing what I see going on. But yet, I do like seeing what I see going on, because God's people are like the cream in the milk. They're coming to the surface, rising to the top. And really, that's where the richness of the milk is. It's in the cream. Amen. That, be honest. I know that all the doctors are telling you, oh, that's bad for you. But would you rather have ice cream or non-fat ice cream? Be honest. I'd rather have the ice cream. And I will tell you, those who really love this Bible and follow it and live by it, they are the cream of God's, they are the cream of the crop. Okay, and I like seeing what's going on. Anyway, boy, we never did make it to verse 13, did we, Jimmy? Keep it marked. You keep it marked, all right? We'll get there again, all right? That which was is that which shall be. Do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this good message. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for opening our eyes. And Lord, help us, God, if there's any doubt. And Lord, there was doubt in my mind at one time. Lord, even when you started showing me great and mighty things, Lord, there was a little doubt in my mind. And God, you're so patient with me. And Father, I don't mean this to be mean. Lord, I'm not trying to judge everybody. Lord, Father, there are some pastors out there who really love you. And they really need to know the truth. I needed to know, God, because I've been told something different. And I pray, dear God, Lord, I pray. God, I can't get proud about this. God, I pray for some preachers and some people out there, dear God, that just don't know. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd open their eyes and you'd get it settled with them, Father, Lord, like you have me. And Lord, there was at one time there was doubt in my mind, but Lord, you cleared up all the doubts, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord Jesus, just turn your word loose, God, in some people, Lord, and let it defend itself. Father, just bless this word in our hearts and our lives. Dear God, help us not be disobedient. Help us not be a rebellious God. Lord, help us to found our lives upon this Bible. Thank you, Lord, for this good word. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.